It's safe to say, I think, that there are many things in this life that we are afraid of. Change, losing our jobs, financial collapse, war, bad politicians, broken relationships, drought, illness, severe weather. We were reminded of the loss of property and life that severe weather can bring just this past week in Tennessee. Perhaps you're afraid of wild animals like bears or panthers or snakes. However, I suspect that nothing is more frightening to us than death itself. We don't like to look at death, don't like to see it, don't like to be reminded of it, don't like to be near it. And I suppose it's death that perhaps makes us so afraid of some of those other things that we seem to be afraid of. Now, in the Old Testament, once God freed the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, they wound up wandering in the desert wilderness for 40 years. Jesus' 40 days of fasting and the 40 days of Lent are reminders of Israel's wandering. During those 40 years, God's people had many things to be afraid of. There were nations that were hostile to them. They were always in danger of not having enough food or water. They had very little shelter to protect them from the elements. Life was hard, but the people really didn't make things any easier on themselves, worshiping false gods, grumbling against God and against Moses, his servants. And then in Numbers chapter 21, we read this account. From Mount Hor, the people set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." Now it's interesting that the people say there is no food here, and oh, by the way, we loathe this food that you gave us, God. Now, I'm not a huge fan of snakes. Now, the non-venomous ones are okay. My closest encounter with a snake, well, one of them, came several months ago when our family was boating out on Lake Travis. And I did say boating. We were in the middle of the lake, moving pretty quickly, towing our nephew on an inner tube behind the boat, and suddenly I hear Carrie scream out, "Snake!" More than once. That's not something I expect to hear in a boat in the middle of a lake. This brownish-looking snake was kind of in the stern of the boat, slinking around the ladder, and I ran back there with this little plastic flag that I had in my hand, and after a few attempts, I managed to flip the snake out of the boat. And then we can see the snake there in the lake, and it heads towards our nephew out in the inner tube. He's 9. So I get the boat moving again, and the snake starts chasing us, swimming through the lake after the boat, its head in the air like a little periscope. This was bizarre and terrifying, to say the least. After this adventure, we did some digging on the internet, and it turns out this was most likely a harmless diamondback water snake, non-venomous, totally harmless, loves to go in the water, loves to find boats. Harmless, but we didn't know, so we were frightened. What do? Terrified. And so it is with many frightening things or difficult situations that we face in this life. We don't know how frightened to be of a particular worry. And it's human nature to assume the worst. Is that tumor malignant or benign? Will I keep my job or be downsized? Will this relationship work out or will it not? Will the tornado hit my house or will it go over? Will the moral evils of this world affect my family, or will they be spared? Will my child or grandchild leave the church, or will they stay? There is so much, it seems, to worry ourselves over. So many snakes out there, and often we don't know how venomous they are or aren't. And so we fret. We plan for the worst, we hope for the best, and we muddle along. Back to the people of Israel. Now, these people knew how dangerous these particular snakes were. They were deadly, and there was nothing that they could do to save themselves from these venomous snakes. They were powerless. No doubt how we often feel about things that happen to us in our lives. So the book of Numbers continues. Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if the serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Think about that. God used an image of the thing that the people were most fearful of in that moment, a serpent, the creatures that were killing them, and made them look at a representation of that thing up on a pole in order to live. And so now Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus from our gospel lesson, says this, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." During Lent, our minds and our eyes are directed in the same way that the eyes of the people of Israel were directed. We are constantly brought to look upon the cross, an instrument of death, and Christ's death upon that cross. We are to look upon death, that thing which we are most fearful of, and what do we find there? The Son of Man, lifted up on the cross, drawing all people to himself, drawing you to himself. That is the death that we deserve. That is what we see there, literally our own deaths. And we force ourselves to look upon him who knew no sin, who was bruised for our iniquities, who suffered in our place. It is unpleasant, to be sure. Unpleasant to be reminded that our sin and brokenness is the cause. But it is from that cross that we are given not death, but life. Just as the Israelites looked at the bronze serpent and lived, they were spared from death. We look to the cross from where we receive life, eternal life. And that's not the only death-filled thing that God uses to cause us to live. Another fear that many people have is the fear of drowning. As I understand, drowning is a very horrible way to die. And Jesus' words to Nicodemus also touch on water. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, Nicodemus misunderstands Jesus, at least at first, thinking that Jesus meant he had to go back into his mother and be born again. But we realize that Jesus is talking about the new birth that we receive in the waters of baptism. The water of the flood destroyed nearly every living thing and every person on the earth during Noah's time. But Noah and his family, one pair of all the unclean animals, seven pairs of all the clean animals, were brought through the waters of the flood, saved to begin a new life, to have new lives. St. Peter writes, "When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. The flood water brought death to many, but God preserved Noah and his family through the waters of the flood and brought new life to them and to all the earth. And you too are brought through the waters of your baptism, those waters which continue to kill the old Adam in you that would like to raise its ugly periscope head and do what is evil and wrong and turn you away from God. And God brings you new life through that baptism. Water and death. The death of Jesus bringing life, and through the Holy Spirit's gift of faith, through the waters of baptism, these promises are ours. As Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but stands before the throne of God, stands before this altar forgiven. Whoever believes in him need not fear death. Whoever believes in him need not fear the trials and temptations and tribulations of this life. The snakes of this life, those things that terrorize and cause the sleepless nights, are in effect defanged by Christ. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That serpent, our old evil foe, lies crushed under the cross. He can harm us none. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.